The Caribbean Today, a digital news panorama by the Latin American News Agency from Havana, Cuba. Today is Wednesday, September 13, 2023. The presence in Havana of numerous heads of state and government as well as high-level representatives of the G77 expressed Cuba's leadership at the head of the group's coordination, experts say. For the director of the International Policy Research Center, José Ramón Cabañas, the next summit meeting of the largest bloc of developing countries within the United Nations system to be held in Havana on September 15 and 16 will confirm the capacity of this Caribbean nation in consensus building and its commitment to multilateralism. Since assuming the pro tempore presidency of the G77 in January 2023, Cuba has developed an intense agenda to put into practice the vision defended by the group, which represents 80% of the world's population and more than two-thirds of the United Nations membership. During the period, the island hosted important meetings, among them the meetings of the group's ministers of education, culture, and tourism, and last July, the meeting of ministers and high-level environmental authorities of the 134 member countries was held in Havana. This summit meeting is of crucial importance in a global scenario marked by a significant technological gap that limits the development opportunities of the countries of the South, and in view of the imperative of outlining strategies to achieve a more just and truly democratic world. The Cuban ambassador to the United Nations in Geneva, Juan Antonio Quintanilla, called at the Human Rights Council to put an end to the existing unequal international economic order in order to overcome the current global crisis. Speaking at the 54th regular session of the Council, scheduled in Geneva from September 11 to October 13, Cuba's permanent representative also denounced the prevailing deformed financial architecture and the irrational production and consumption patterns of capitalism. He warned that numerous reports from the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations and the World Food Program demonstrate that the world produces enough food to guarantee the feeding of the world's population, but its waste and unequal distribution conditions the current deep crisis. According to the diplomat, to such a challenging scenario are added criminal unilateral coercive measures, the promotion of fourth-generation wars, disinformation, subversion for political purposes, and other unacceptable practices that constitute serious violations of the Charter of the UN and international law. In that sense, he recalled the aggressions Cuba has faced for more than six decades from the United States. A note from professor and Cuban tourism specialist José Luis Perillo states that the Spanish airline Air Europa will operate flights with sustainable fuel on trips that include Havana. In his Facebook account, Perillo explains that these are long-haul routes that will initially link the airline with the Madrid-Barajas International Airport and the Havana International Airport once a month with biofuel, which will allow it to save 50 tons of carbon dioxide emissions on 1 year. The company CEPSA will supply 14.4 tons of sustainable fuel to Air Europa for 1 year, which will help the airline meet the objective set by the European Union in the RefuEL European Union Aviation Initiative. The European Union expects European airlines to increasingly implement sustainable fuels so that in 2025 they will incorporate 2 to 6% by 2030 and 70% by 2050. The International Air Transport Association assumes that sustainable fuel will contribute 65% of the emissions reductions aviation needs to achieve net zero by 2050. Cuba is promoting this year 104 clinical trials linked to cancer, infections, and COVID-19. In a meeting held this week by Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel with health experts, it was reported that work is being done on more than 30 trials linked to cancer, more than 40 to the clinic, about 20 related to COVID-19, and more than 10 in the area of infections, among others. Regarding the distribution of these clinical trials, 60 deal with biological products and 18 natural products, 17 are vaccines, 5 revolve around medical equipment and devices, and others are chemical pharmaceutical based. According to Dr. Amaelir Arteaga, director of the National Clinical Trials Coordinating Center, due to the radical changes caused by the impact of COVID-19, nowadays we can speak of a before and after in concepts and actions. In the National Action Protocol, she pointed out, 85% of the products are from Cuban industry, while regulatory innovation has been achieved in order to shorten times without affecting the quality of clinical data. At the center of this activity, Arteaga added, are there researchers, nursing, and pharmaceutical personnel and staff from other disciplines? She explained it is a system of shared responsibilities based on good clinical practices, which include health institutions and research ethics committees, promoters and monitors, and regulatory authorities. The theoretical program of the Caracol 2023 event of the Union of Writers and Artists of Cuba, UNIAC, continues with an agenda dedicated to the topics such as communication in childhood and audiovisual production. Starting at 10 local time, the program begins with the international workshop Childhood and Communication, Communicating Childhood, Focus on Rights, Inequalities, and Vulnerabilities. Also part of this Caracol event is the meeting entitled, Where Does Independent Audiovisual Production Go? A Look from the Challenges, which is the result of the Promotion Fund, the Creators Registry, and the Film Commission. The audiovisual production in Cuba for social media is another of the panels, while in the cinema of 23rd and 12th Streets will be screened the tribute show 30 Years of TV Serrana. In the afternoon, a meeting will be held at the UNIAC headquarters with students of the School of Media Arts, and also there will be a tribute to Cuban filmmaker Chucho Cabrera. And in the international agenda, we have that. The Supreme Federal Court of Brazil is holding the first four trials of the defendants involved in the coup attacks of last January 8th. The four accused will answer for crimes such as armed criminal association, violent abolition of the democratic rule of law, coup d'etat, damage qualified by violence, and serious threat with the use of flammable substances against the union's assets and considerable damage to the victim. Each defendant will be called to trial individually in each case. The analysis will begin with the reading of the report by Minister Alexander de Moraes, and then the reviewer, Cassio Nunes Marquez, will be able to make additions to the document if he wishes. The defense and the prosecution, represented by the Attorney General's office, will have 1 hour each to present arguments and evidence regarding the accused. The vote that decides on the guilt or innocence of each of the defendants of the accused will be initiated by the rapporteur, followed by the vote of the reviewer. Next, the vote will be carried out starting from the most recent minister until reaching the oldest in the court. The last vote is that of the president of the court, Judge Rosa Weber. Meanwhile, the U.S.-Mexico border accumulates the highest death tolls and disappearances in the world, although rates are probably lower than real figures, the International Organization for Migration warned. According to a briefing, it was claimed that at least 686 migrants died or went missing in 2022 trying to illegally enter the United States. The outlook is no more encouraging in the rest of the continent, where at least 1,457 people died or disappeared in 2022, the highest figure since the Organization for Migration Missing Migrants Project began its activities in 2014. And this is all for today. We'll be back tomorrow with more news on the Caribbean that unites us.